Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Familiar piece of scripture. Been preached here lots of times. Melissa talked on it here 2 or 3 years ago. Did a really great job. I believe you used that scripture. And I've used it more than once. Others have. Still relevant. I want to talk about running today. And Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Father, again, we just ask that you would anoint these lips of clay, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive what the Spirit would say to us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. There's an African proverb that holds some spiritual truth. Each morning, a gazelle gets up knowing that it must outrun the fastest lion or it'll be eaten. Every morning, the lion gets up knowing he must outrun the slowest gazelle or he'll starve to death. Gazelle or lion, every morning you must run. And that's the same thing with you and I as Christians today. You got to get up every day knowing that you've got to run the race. And so that's something, I can just leave it right there and let you just get the rest of it on your own. But we got to get up knowing we've got to run the race. And the writer to the Hebrews here said there's a race that's set before us, talking about a lifelong test of faith. As long as you live, you've got to run. So I'll get tired. Yes, you will. Sometimes you'll run out of air. Steam, if you would. Run out of steam. You'll be short of breath. You'll be tired. You'll wonder if you're ever going to finish the race. But you've got to keep on running. Regardless of what faces you, you have to run. And this, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10:23, for us to hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So we have a promise from God that if we'll keep running the race, that we will, the Bible says that he that endures to the end shall be saved. So we have to continue to run this race. And so I want you to stay in the race today. It says we have to draw near to God. And then over on Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 38th verse, or 37, I want to read it there. It says, "For yet a little while, and he that will come, will come, and will not tarry." And it goes on to say, "Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So the just live by faith. And so we are holding on our profession of faith and continually running this race that's been set before us. Now, anytime you run a race, and I've probably talked about this before, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but anytime you run a race, if you notice any runners, if you go to watch any Olympics, they strip down as little clothing as possible. They got new type of synthetic material that is less wind resistant. They do everything possible to make their race so they can run quicker. We don't have to run quicker, but we've got to run steady. And we still need to get rid of, the Bible says here, every sin and every weight that doth so easily beset us. So we have to get our weight down to where it's manageable and get rid of those things that would hinder our race towards heaven. Understand that. We've got to get rid of a few things and hold fast our profession of faith. And that principle governs our relationship with God and our salvation provided through Jesus Christ. We live by faith. Now, and that faith is in the Son of God. I can't make it without Jesus. You can't make it without Jesus. You won't finish the race without Jesus. I mean, you're going to lay aside some stuff, and you're going to get ready to run the race with patience or perseverance, but you're going to have to do it with Jesus up by your side. It's sort of like Hildago, that y'all seen that horse, that spotted Mustang stallion that run a race over in Arabia? Y'all see that show? That's a beauty. I love that show. That's just an old Mustang, and he's running against, it's a true story. He's running against a bunch of Arabians and a bunch of really fancy racehorses, and it's in the late 1800s, maybe in early 1900s, and they bring him over there to run a race. And that, they had to get rid of, at the end of the race, he had to strip him of that old big cowboy saddle. I mean, he went through a lot of things. He had a spear run through his shoulder. They tried to kill him. They tried to stop him. They run out of water, sandstorms, all kinds of perils that they were in. I mean, everything, a leopard's turned loose on the horse to try to stop him from winning that race against these Arab kings or these Arab sheiks, these real rich Arabs that had these fancy horses, and they planned on winning, and they're racing across the desert now, and he had to get rid of every weight towards the end there that he had to strip off that saddle. The old horse fell and didn't know whether he's going to make it or not, and he got it. He got back up, and he stripped the saddle off of him and got on him, and he outran the last ones in that race and finished the race. You and I have to be like that old stubborn Pinto Mustang stallion and run the race that's been set before us. That horse refused to give up. He had ran a lot of races for his master. He was in a oneness with that guy that owned him. They were just in tune together. He would do anything for that cowboy. That horse would do anything for him. And so finally the cowboy got off. The horse fell, and he said, "Man, we're done. We're done, partner. We're done. It's it. We're done. I'm not gonna kill you." He thought the horse had done dead, almost dying. And all of a sudden, he's laid there in that sun, and all of a sudden, that horse nuzzled him. Kind of made some noise. And he looked up, and the horse was standing up. It's kind of like, "Well, are we gonna finish or not?" And that's when he got on him, and he finished the race. Church, it's the same thing for us. Jesus is kind of standing there at your side. And he's kind of saying, "Well, are we going to finish? I know you've run out of steam, but we're going to take off the rest of this sin and the rest of this weight that's on you, and we're going to finish this race. You got to keep running. Keep on running." And so we've got to do that. And the Bible tells us that everybody draws back from Christ or deliberately keeps on sinning, God will have no pleasure in that person, and that person will incur eternal damnation. Well, I want to run the race with patience and with endurance, and I don't want to incur eternal damnation. Do you? Oh, do you? Come on, get up and shout if you do. Nobody does. Everybody wants to finish the race. And so we have to hang on no matter how difficult it gets. We hang on. No matter what comes your way, you hang on. And so we run the race with patience, and that means with perseverance and endurance. We run the race with perseverance and endurance. We don't quit. Look at Philippians, the third chapter, and the 12th verse, Philippians 3:12. I got to find it. Goes not, and here's what Paul said, and he's talking about the high calling of God. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Then he goes on to say, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." So we should be the same mind, he said. In other words, he's saying, you be the same mind as I am. We're going to press on. We're going to forget what's behind us. We're going to forget the failures as well as the victories. And we're going to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, of Christ Jesus in our lives. That's what we do. Understand me, church. We're in a race. But it's winnable. Paul goes on, one passage goes, not to those who get there first, but to all that attain. He says in his parting shot over in 2 Timothy, I believe it is, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me, but not me only, but all those that love his appearing. Everybody that runs the race, you win the prize. Look at it like this. Today, when kids participate in something, they all get a trophy. Well, God's the ultimate trophy giver. If you run this race and you participate in his plan of life, you get the trophy. Whether you're first across the finish line or last across the finish line or come across it during the rapture, you get the trophy. That's almost shouting ground, isn't it? You win. You win regardless. You win if you'll just stay in the race. And it's the same as the saints in the chapter 11 of Hebrews. But it has a whole, the Bible says we're encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. And it talks about some of them being sawn asunder. It talks about some of the great heroes of faith we've talked about. We talk about all the time. You can read that for yourself. But they won a victory, and they finish the race. Some of them were in the Old Testament. They didn't have the promises that we have today, and yet they finished the course. They might have got tired the first time around that 440. Second time around, they was wondering, I don't know about this. My grandson likes to run cross country. That's crazy. But he likes to do it. And I think he's still doing it. And he likes to run track. And so he's been doing that. And Braden. Well, there's Brayson and then there's this. And there's all these B names with R's. Braden. Braden Dennis. He's named after his daddy, who's named after me. So thus he's named after me. Well, he is. He likes track. But if he don't get out there and practice, build up his endurance, it doesn't do him any good to get into a race. The Bible tells us to run the race with patience, with endurance. Hang in there. It might be tough the first few times, the first few years of your Christian walk, and you've gotten to the middle of your Christian walk. Maybe somebody's toward the end of your Christian walk. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that you can sit down on the sidelines and just sip water. You might sit down just a second and get you some water to get some strength. In other words, drink from the living water, get you some strength, but then you get right back in that race. You ever watch them run the marathon? I don't watch stuff like that. It makes me tired, but every once in a while I have. And you notice them runners, they don't ever stop to get something to drink. Somebody run out there with them some water or some Gatorade or something. And they might take a sip of it. Some of them spits it on back out. Some of them pours it over their head. But they don't stop running. They don't stop. Oh man, yeah. Because they know if they stop, fatigue will set in. Muscles might cramp up. So they keep moving. And what I love about it is when you see some of them, and you've seen some races, some of them have finished the race, the decathlon or something like that, and you'll see some of them come in, and they finish the race, and somebody's struggling, maybe falling, and some of the other runners will go back and pick them up. And they'll carry them across the finish line. That's how important finishing is. Some of them will crawl. I'm not quitting till I get across the finish line. If it means I'm 5 hours, 30 minutes, and 22 seconds behind the last runner, I will finish the course. Church, should we not be in such a mindset that we would do the same thing? I'm going to finish this race. We need to do that. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Let's see what it has to say to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, know you not, I already talked about this briefly, but not really this scripture. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you might obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that breatheth the air, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. In other words, it conveys the idea that I could, if I'm not careful and I don't stay in the race, I might find myself failing the test or being rejected. And Paul said, I'm not going to fail this test. I'm going to run so that I might receive the crown of righteousness that the righteous judge has laid up in store for me, and not me only, but all those that love his appearing. Said, I'm going to run this race. I'm not going to be a castaway. I'm not going to fail to obtain the prize. I'm not going to give up my inheritance. I'm not going to give up my final salvation. I will not cease living a holy life. I'm going to exercise self-control. I'm going to endure hardships because I'm going to finish the race. Not a one of you lives your life without hardship, difficulties. Some of you is living a really good life right now, but tomorrow, but you've still suffered hardship somewhere along the way. And if you live very much longer, you'll suffer some more. And you live very much longer than that, you'll suffer some more. And you'll still have a good life, but you have learned that in this life, you have trouble. In this life, there is difficulties, but you have hope. And hope makes not ashamed. Amen. So we all go through things. I'm just thankful for the times when I'm not going through nothing, knowing that one day I will. And that don't make me afraid. It doesn't make me want to give up on God. It just makes me want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might and stay in there, finishing the race. So we've got to run. Run, run, run. Run, run, run. Some things have to be laid aside. Some things have to be laid aside. And the Bible teaches us to lay aside the weights and the sins that impede us or slow us down. I don't know what your little weight might be. Some ideology, some past churchology, somebody's put on you from the church, some idea that you got to do this or do that to be a Christian. Lay it aside. Follow what the Word of God says. Or maybe you've got some secret sin, something you deal with all the time. Do your best to lay it aside, and let, with the help of the Holy Spirit, lay it aside. Don't keep babying it. Stop coddling it. Lay it aside. It's going to weigh you down. You don't want to do that. We've got to fix our hearts and our minds on Jesus Christ and lay that stuff aside. Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 4. And that's where we're at in our scripture here. But let me read the whole thing to you. And let me go ahead. I'll just read 3 and 4. We've already read the rest of it. It says, for consider him. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3. Says, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You've not had to do that. We look to Jesus. There are perils in front of us, and there's opportunities and temptations to sin in front of everybody. Every single one of us, at some one time or another, there'll be an opportunity or temptation to sin. It just happens. We're in the flesh. What happens, you know, what causes sin is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Well, we all have a little bit of pride. We all got eyes. We all living in flesh. So we all have opportunity to be tempted and led astray. Every single one of us. No one's exempt. No one. Not even you, Pastor. Absolutely not. I sure wish, because I was a preacher, I didn't handle a problem like that. I got to deal with it just like you do, then get up here and act like I don't. But I won't be transparent with you enough not to act like I'm some holy Joe. I'm a man. I walk in my flesh like you do. So I am tempted like you are. If Jesus was tempted in all points such as we, won't you think his messengers are too? Come on now. We're not exempt. None of us are. So we all have to lay these things that impede us or slow us down and fix our hearts and our minds, our eyes on Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And so we need to understand that our greatest peril is a temptation to sin. And so we don't want to return from the country from whence we've already came. I already lived in sin. I already tried that out. I liked it. My flesh liked it, but I got saved from it. And I don't want to go back to it. I don't want no more of that. I don't want to live under the judgment of God. I don't want to live with fear of dying and going to hell. So, well, that's the only reason to do it. No, that's not the only reason to do it. I fell in love with Jesus. He saved me and I fell in love with him. So now I want to serve him. I want to please him. I don't want to displease him. I want him to be happy with my life. Don't you? I want him to be happy with me. I disappoint him pretty often, and I have to go to my knees. So, oh, Lord, I did it again. Forgive me. Please forgive me. Well, I tell him, too, I'm glad for your grace. I'm so glad for mercy. You better be. But that don't mean I sin willfully. I got to bring my body in subjection. Beat it back, because it'll lead me the wrong direction. The temptations in my so there is enticement there. It's enticement to become citizens of the world again, but I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen in heaven. I'm an ambassador while I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm just passing through. Aren't you glad for that? That God, in His mercy and in His grace and His great wisdom, put us here so that we could be reconciled. You know, He didn't just put us here and say, okay, everybody's board's lost and undone. There's no hope for them. Because Adam and Eve, instead he says, I got a plan, I got a way, I'm going to make a way. Jesus is the way maker, and so I'm going to do this. And then we're born in sin. When we get up to the age of accountability, he has a plan. And that plan's Christ. It's available for everybody. I'm so glad that I got saved. Well, said, I'm so glad he found me, wrapped his loving arms around me. I'm so glad he saved me. Man, I was lost and undone. Preacher, you said you've been saved a long time. I have. I got saved when I was 8 years old. I backslid when I got to my teen years, and I come back to the Lord when I was 19 years old, 20 years old. I'm 63 now, so I've been serving the Lord constantly for 43 years. Been around church and God all my life. You know, that's all I know mostly in my life is church. Pastored this church for almost 26 years. But I'm not a citizen of this world anymore. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm his ambassador here, and you are too. And but even at that, there's still an enticement to become a citizen of the world again. After all those years, you'd think there wouldn't be, but there still is, because this flesh, we're living in this body of flesh. And it's a rascal. But Paul said, I beat my body and bring it into subjection. So whatever it takes. In closing, Dell Evans Rogers, most of y'all know who that is, speaking about a scandal in the church she attended as a child, as a teenager, said, it's too bad. We tend to put Christians on a pedestal, and we refuse to acknowledge that we have feet of clay. This goes for the best of them. Of course, it is no small thing for a Christian to fall into a grievous sin, but it seems to be a greater sin to refuse to get up out of the ditch. Through repentance, confession, and restitution. The rest of us must continue in the faith, in the presence of sin and scandal, and go on believing like Christians. So I don't care what you've come through, if this church or your church or some church has went through a scandal. You still got to get up, walk on your feet of clay, lay aside the sin and the weights that's easily beset you, and go on believing like a Christian. Don't let somebody else's fall cause you to fall. Hang in there. It's not over yet. We might be towards the finish line. I'm not sure. I like to think we are. But until we get there, keep on running. Amen? Keep on running. Run, run, run. Amen. Amen. Let's find a place to pray.